Thanks for hanging out with us, tuning in with us, having fun with us. Jackpot Jerry.
Murphy's Law. With me again, my good buddy, Chris Kuhn.
It used to be much easier when we were just talking about barbecue.
Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law. My good buddy, Chuck.
Oh, you fucker.
also
that hard of a name to remember?
I'm not.
I mean, he's only worked here for 2-3 months.
I couldn't help it. I've been holding on to that one, too.
What's up, Chuck?
Better than sitting on that one.
Fire that smoker up, Chuck.
Well, you're stuck with that one now, bro.
Oh,
so,
God.
Anyways, you know, I had to do some whiteboard stuff on the last one, and Chris didn't get to jump in a whole lot on that one. So I'm asking, like, dude, let's podcast today. I'm like, dude, it just feels weird not having you.
Yeah, you pulled me away from binge-watching Vikings.
Is that any good?
Oh, that's way better than watching like anything to do with the government.
Well, most things are.
But... No, it's really good. It's very Game of Thrones.
Well, I might be into it then. So anyway, speaking of government stuff, part of this podcast where I wanted to talk about, I had the honor of being Senator Michelle Hoytinga's guest at.
But is it really an honor? State. Don't you feel dirty?
Well, I did. I did text out and tweet out a little bit that I need, like, immediately as soon as it was done, I'm like, I need a shower.
Like, literally, seeing you walk in that place.
And it wasn't even necessarily, I mean, yeah, a lot of the content, but just, you know, some of the things you witness are
well, watching you walk in that place kind of remind me of how I imagine most of our friends feel walking into church.
You
like
know,
not bursting into fucking plane
analogy.
As soon as you walk in the door.
I was actually, that's a really, it's a really interesting analogy. Mainly because I was very surprised at the amount of prayer that went on.
Oh, whoa. That's not allowed.
Well, yeah, I mean, invocation. So, I mean, for a long time, and I don't know how much they broadcast, on TV.
I would know. I didn't watch it.
I was there for so long. They made us sit down. I was on the actual floor and they made us sit down.
On the floor?
nearly.
Indian
style? Packed that place. They pack it. And it was interesting because you know, there was a snowstorm, which is a big deal for them downstate, I think. But for us up there, it was just like
Tuesday.
That was another day. I don't think it was quite as busy, and I had heard that some Republicans weren't going to show up, and I did see a number of Republicans after, so they were doing roll call, I think, and they have to basically say if they're there or not, and I think there were only 3 altogether that weren't there, but I did see a number of them basically hit their button and then
leave,
peace out. So but it was, I mean, the Capitol's a pretty cool place. I had never been there. I've been through Lansing, but I'd never been there. And one of the things that's striking me, and I was telling Mark this earlier, the roads have got to be the shittiest in Lansing. I have you been in Lansing much?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. They're terrible.
Yeah, that whole area.
I mean, they're terrible everywhere. Like, I know this, but.
But especially from Lansing to Detroit, anywhere along that 96 corridor, 69, all those roads down there are just, I mean, they will eat your fucking truck. Which is ironic because our state capital. The home of the governor who ran on the platform of fix our damn roads.
Yeah.
But right now they could literally swallow up a truck.
Maybe a toll road will help that.
How about a road that will charge your EV?
Oh, she mentioned that the other night.
I'm sure she did.
Oh, but there were so many giggles and snickers. It was kind of interesting.
Well, and like you and I talked before we started recording that, like, you know, I of course I didn't bother watching it, but I know some of the talking points you was talking about stricter gun control.
Yeah.
Which, of course, made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah, I mean, they've been telegraphing that one for a while, and they, I agree.
Yeah, good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chip. I mean, that was one of the big ones right there, and I know there was, I'm not going to name any names, but there were some people that were questioning whether or not they should, you know, carry at the Capitol that night on the Senate floor and everything. If it were me, I probably would do it. But either way, it was an interesting experience. you know, these state of the state, state of the unions, these things are always just such a, you know, a big old kind of pat on the yeah. back. And it's like, oh, hey, you know, I got to give a shout out to this guy over here and a shout out to that gal over there. And, you know, thanks for these people for doing this. And they, of course, they always come up with these innocuous.
So it's kind of like a Chamber of Commerce business after hours.
Yeah, it's actually exactly what it is. And that's another good analogy, too, because those are organizations, and I'm probably going to catch shit for this one, too, but because I just met a bunch of Chamber of Commerce people the other night. Very nice people. But, you know, an organization that takes money and under the guise of, you know, helping your business or forwarding it or marketing.
But yet really does very little with it.
And, yeah, I mean, third-party purchases are always the most inefficient.
Well, and kind of like, in full disclosure, though, I do know some chambers that do a great job up here in northern Michigan. Some towns that used to be the same size as Gaylord when we were growing up that have now just blown up.
Yeah.
And have tons of new businesses.
And that's always been a little bit of my complaint about some is that they're, you know, you don't need to be original with this stuff. Like, there's great examples to copycat.
Yeah, you can ask for help.
Out of how many chambers around. But anyways.
Yeah.
That is a really good analogy because they do take money under the guise of doing one thing, and you don't really know if you get the return on that or not. There's a lot of promises.
Oh, nothing but promises.
I'm not really necessarily trying to bash chambers, but you know, I think they have their place, and I'm just one of those people that, and we've been a member of our chamber here locally for the majority that our restaurant's been open. I am more of a self, how do I want to say this? We handle most of our marketing in-house. You know, we do a little bit of radio with my buddy at Q100. We do a little bit of online radio and radio content with Trucker Randy every Tuesday. But we don't do any print. We're pulling all of our billboards that we had. We've got one that's still up. And I've always just looked at Chambers as a marketing organization. And as somebody that has a marketing background, I just kind of, I wouldn't say it's like, you know, you're giving them, you know, your marketing.
It almost feels like a donation to charity. Like we've talked about this before. Like I remember when I stopped being a member of the chamber and they asked me why. And, you know, my response was simple. And to me, it's still simple to this day. If you took the money and put together once a month that we all got together in a conference room somewhere and brainstormed, discussed ideas to bring people in, instead of having these after hour events where it's basically a cock measuring contest. And everybody patting each other on the back, gauging their size. You're chuckling because it's true.
No, I'm actually chuckling because I think we're going to be doing some food at the next local Chamber of Commerce. We're not members. We've been talking about becoming members, and we actually dropped out of our local chamber membership a few years ago, mainly around when the pandemic started, because here was an organization that, you know, is supposed to advocate for its members. And restaurants are kind of a category in and of themselves and are leaned on quite a bit by these chambers in order to host these types of
and
events.
And you essentially got shut.
And it's not even that. While we were still members, I just felt like they didn't do enough to promote their restaurants. And there were, again, other examples that other chambers were doing that they could have easily implemented to advocate for their restaurant members. And they didn't. And I took issue with that. And I pulled my membership for the last couple of years. And we've been reevaluating whether or not to be a part of that organization again. And I reached out and they said, well, let's talk with the other board members and see if they're willing to take my membership money.
Take the risk.
And they apparently, and you know, these are all people I know, and they had a meeting at one point and said, you know, I guess the Iron Pig is worthy of our membership again. So, you know, I've wavered on it for a long time, and I'll say this about it and we'll get back on topic. It's hard to help or change an organization if you're not part of it. Right. And there are other good members that should be benefiting from this organization that aren't, and we can't do any good if we're not a part of that. So it's that mentality that's kind of bringing me back around to, well, if they have a lack of ideas to promote restaurants specifically, or new events to have, we might have some of those ideas And why should we be keeping them to ourselves when they could be helping?
Well, you know,
that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
so, I mean, that's the point. Instead of, you know, spite is not the right word, but when you give your dollars out and expect something in return that is basically promised and then you don't get, in fact, you go the opposite direction and you issue discount cards during a pandemic that they take money for. And then the only thing the restaurant is supposed to get out of the deal is increased traffic. Then to justify the average discount on these cards was 15%. And I believe two or three of the restaurants were shut down completely at this
point. Well, not to mention, if you look back at the restaurant week last year,
yeah,
which historically has been a big event.
Yeah.
There was.
Has it?
Well, there's quite a few restaurants.
Oh, I didn't mean that. Actually, I didn't mean that how it's.
So, okay. So. Normally, there was quite a few restaurants involved, yeah. Restaurant Week, and with a big kickoff event at Treetops, our Seagull Club.
Yeah.
And this year, last year, I think there was, what, four or five, and two of them were franchises, Firehouse Subs. And
in defense, Culver's. I will say, as a former award winner of the Taste of Gaylord.
Eat my ass,
Ian. I can tell you that it has been very difficult for restaurants to get additional employees to staff the booths to go.
I've heard that before.
So, no, seriously, though, in defense of that event, because I actually, that was one of my favorite events they used to have, because very, very few times do us restaurateurs get to see others because we are busy. So that was always a really cool thing. And there are very few times that we all get together to support one another in that type of atmosphere. So that was one of my favorite events. Again, not just because we won some award a few years ago, but what I will say is that the pandemic didn't help any of that.
No.
Right. So, I mean, it shut off just like fairs and events, concerts and stuff like that. But
well,
I think that there might be some good things coming down the road. So we're reevaluating that.
Well, and you know, actually, so we're drifting off topic a little bit, but this is actually another good topic though. And actually, I'm glad we're shifting because we were talking the other day with a lot of the employees up top, and because we're down in the basement in the studio, but the fact that nightlife has changed, we're talking about the pandemic and how people's behaviors and habits have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And live music and bands and karaoke and trivia nights, things aren't having the same impact as what they did three years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not uncommon for, like, you know, obviously closed now, but like Tap 32 on a Friday night or Saturday night, if there was music, it wasn't uncommon for that place to be like elbow room only and squeezing through front to back. Now, most of these places downtown, including Piggy, past 7, 8 o'clock,
yeah,
it's ghost town. Because people's behavior, their habits have changed.
That is very true. And I mentioned it in the last episode because people forget about the curfew.
Oh God. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was one that, and it's easy to forget about because it was a short period of time that the curfew was in effect, but it should stand out as one of those things that was telling you that you can be here at this time, but at this time, it is so much more dangerous for you to be in the exact same position that you were 5 minutes ago. So it just,
remember,
you know, we lose track of all these things. You know, I saw a meme the other day. It was one of the arrows down the grocery aisle. And it's like, to think that this,
someone was still there.
This convinced people that it was going to save lives is that they are still there. I know.
Well, I remember driving around during that time. You opened the door. So being a smart ass, I remember driving around with the purge siren on. Sadly enough, that's what things felt like.
Yeah, I had pictures of downtown, and it was just bleak.
Yeah.
Just nobody around.
But yeah, it's weird how people's behaviors have changed and people, it's not coming back. I mean, even though society's returned to normal and things are back to the way it was, people's behaviors haven't returned.
Yeah, it is. There is no disputing that for me. It was interesting to see, though, when I was down in Lansing, I actually thought that there were going to be more people with masks on, just in general. So I was actually kind of encouraged. But then, you know, I mean, these things have kind of become a badge, if you will. And I actually thought that there would be a few more people that were wearing them than not. So maybe that whole thing is starting to, you know, wear itself off. I see a lot of people wearing them around here, like when I go to Walmart and stuff, and I'm not begrudging anybody that wears a mask. I'm just saying, as it relates to being in a political place, and when that thing has become such a sort of political symbol, as I know,
shit we went through with the hand sign or hand language and all that shit we went through.
Yeah, and then we go to a restaurant sign language and a bar afterwards, after the state, to meet some other people, and it turns out that there were mostly Democrats in this bar when it used to be mostly Republicans. And as it relates to the conversation we were having as it was brought up, the shift in power, the Democrats are in power now, and the pendulum is swinging back, and the D's are doing what the R's have been doing to the D's for years, and now it just kind of keeps swinging back and forth.
I was actually kind of surprised I talked to you considering you wore a red tie.
So it was the big joke really was, and in fact, I just got a text message before we started. I'm surprised that they let you in, like wink, wink, because they do a back. I had to submit stuff ahead of time as Michelle's guest. That was kind of the joke, like, oh, I'm surprised that they let you in.
Well, and that's actually when I sent you that text.
Because not everybody gets in.
No, and you and I was obviously having a conversation about it beforehand, but I'm like, at first my thought was, there's so many other memes that could be drawn on you. That'd be the one time that Whitmer would want a photo op with you. Look who showed up. Next thing you know, there's a commercial. Ian's here.
So it's a 2-hour drive, and I had plenty of time. And there was probably an opportunity for me to get a chance to meet her. I was asked on the radio the other day if I would take an opportunity to meet her or whatever. And I would. I would be respectful. She is the governor. Whether or not I agree with her policies or not, it wouldn't be a love fest.
You sure?
I'm definitely sure.
Are you sure, though?
But so, when people say these things, and, there's these famous photos of these people saying dumbass shit to, like, dictators and shit, it's, oh, it's nice to meet you. It's a pleasure to meet you. And it's like, okay, it's neither one of those things. And I thought of either saying it's entertaining to meet you, or what I landed on was it's very interesting to meet you. And then I would have said, considering I just named you in a Supreme Court petition 2 weeks ago.
You see, I would probably be that guy who would just shake hands and go,
and then turn right to the camera.
I'm just being cordial. That'd be my comment. I'm just being cordial.
Because it's not lost on me that these are important people. And they certainly have not lost fact of the fact that they constantly need to remind you.
Well, there's a
the
lot
big
of
procession in, and the justices that come through. I mean, it was an hour and a half just like bringing all these people in through procession and all this other stuff. And it's the pomp and circumstance. I know it's not like that every day, but I'm sitting in this great big room, which is gorgeous. And there's these paintings of, I don't know who the fuck they were, but I'm sure they were important people at some point in time. That's not the point. It's this gigantic room. It's gorgeous. Nice lighting, all this stuff, and nice comfy chairs and whatever. And that's mine. That's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these people in here. Good job, Chuck.
Yeah.
You the man.
Which is how we got off tangent.
I just want to take a moment to thank Chuck for being such a supporter and giving me millions of dollars. I just want to take time to thank Chuck. Yeah, the whole thing was just really kind of skeezy. And again, I get it, it's a state of the state, state of the unions are always
And you brought up before we started recording, like NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I'll cite the KHL, which is like the Europe's version of the NHL for hockey. Like all these people that show up should actually have sponsors on their sleeves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can identify who you need to talk to. Because it's all about working deals. So
it would make it much more expedient in my extremely limited experience in dealing and talking with these people. Again, extremely limited.
But I mean, if you knew who you were talking to, you knew who to waste time on, who not. Like, yeah. Oh shit, you're lying with me. I don't need to talk to you. Go away. Oh, I need yours.
I said this earlier. Two things kind of stick out to me really, is that I feel like state capitals are where idealists and idealism go to die.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it ends on the campaign trail.
You know, and
it really does.
I've given one of our local reps a really hard time for saying, "Oh, I'm certainly not
and
changing
I know
that."
exactly who you're talking about because he ran, speaking bluntly, his cock holster on one thing, and immediately became part of the establishment.
And I have a greater understanding now how that came to be. In my opinion, that was one of my things. It's kind of like once these people go down to the Capitol, whether you're a senator, you're a rep, whatever, you just kind of get swallowed. Whoever is in your office or pulling levers this way or that way, or committee assignments or fundraising, whatever it happens to be, it sort of meanders away from the actual reason.
And therein lies the problem.
Why they're there. The problem is really now, I mean, it's a function of the whole thing. So it's not like you could ever just, you know, like put an end to it.
If you do, you're going to end up as a one-term person.
Well,
I mean, and that's what these people are afraid of. Look at Debbie Sabanon. How long has she been there?
Oh, right.
And yeah. She's ready for a retirement home.
But you're right. With the sponsorship patch thing, you don't really know who is, lobbying which direction. It's all about, really, it's all about relationships ultimately, and trying to find like minds to get bills together, and lobbyists play a role in putting those people together in the name of their interests. I get that, but it's very seedy, and it's just it seems very, very disingenuous. And it bums me out because my experience has all with all this stuff, and the entire reason why I was invited was because of obviously the Iron Pig staying open and all this stuff and the Supreme Court nonsense, but more specifically our Supreme Court petition that we just put out last week, which actually would fundamentally change how these people do their jobs, which is why it was so interesting to be sitting in Michelle's office while they're having some conversations about what might be in Whitmer's address that evening and, you know, how they should respond. And it was very, very cool to see. And I had some, you know, a friend of mine works in that office. So I get a little bit more behind the scenes than that.
But that's the problem. That is the problem. Michelle's office in Lansing. That's a problem. Once they get there, they become part of the problem, not the solution, because they're far away from the problems and the reasons that they went there. They're not talking to people every day.
You know, and I will say that I don't think with respect to Michelle, she's been on the House side. Well, she turned out on the House side. So I have never felt that Michelle was the same type of person that we're describing right now. And I don't know why that is. She's very engaged with her electorate. I think that's what allowed her specifically and what she stands for. She tends to lean more libertarian, which is my direction. Leave me the hell alone. But I think that's what allowed her to get elected over to the Senate side, that she has that connection back in her district. I mean, she covers 12 or 15 counties or something like that now. I mean, that's a lot of people. And I think they're 4-year terms in the Senate side, 2 in the House, 4 in the Senate side. Does that sound right?
It does. It sounds right. But to me, once you get there, you're literally...
You're not the same. I agree. You're not the same.
You're not of much use to the people. And which is why nobody has faith in the government anymore.
So, really quiet. Did you read what I sent? Or I don't even know if I sent this to you.
No, you didn't.
So say that again. Faith in what? Faith in
government.
Faith in government.
Yeah. People
so,
have no faith in government.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about on the podcast today was the Court of Appeals came out with a ruling. I think it was yesterday.
Oh, on the minimum wage.
The minimum wage. So in 2018, there was a petition to raise the minimum wage. The petition was adopted and then the legislature amended it. And I didn't really know a whole lot about this other than its potential implications on minimum wage. And more importantly, for us in the restaurant business, the eventual elimination of the tip credit, which, if anybody doesn't know, the tip credit is for front of the house staff or anybody that makes tips gets paid at a lower wage because the other portion of their wage is merit dependent on tips. It's how it's always been.
Well, which we had an entire conversation about that issue on the last podcast we did that got deleted.
Oh, snap. No, just kidding. We're so professional here.
But no, that was a bill that would have screwed everybody that relied on tips.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have increased food costs, increased consumer bills.
Yeah.
Which would have led to less tipping.
I know what it would have, the effect it would have had on my business plan. Mine is not the same as everybody else's, but generalized, it would have had some very, very dire.
Well, you don't run the biggest restaurant in town. Another inside joke.
I'm the biggest in town. But so what happened was they passed the petition. Petition was adopted in legislature. Legislature changed some of the language and basically drew out, among other things, it changed the law for wage, minimum wage, removal of the tip credit, and then other things like a minimum of 10 days paid sick leave for anybody that qualifies as a minimum wage employee. I don't think there was hour limitations on it. You know, to be a full-time, I don't really remember. I didn't even want to get that deep into it.
I just remember what I read of it was everybody gets a trophy.
But again, right, they're trying to make this into a livable wage, not a minimum wage. Minimum wage is the minimum amount an employer needs to pay an entry-level position in their working marketplace. It's not a livable wage.
Which is a complete
departure. They got to stop that bullshit.
It's a complete departure from merit.
I called a couple of people out the other night when we were having drinks and they said something and I can't remember what it was relating to. And it was just like, no, no, no. And he was saying it kind of on purpose using that ridiculous language, like livable wage instead of minimum wage. And it's like, no, 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 just stop. Like, don't even repeat that language because it's bullshit. It has nothing to do with being a livable wage because what Chris needs to what Chuck needs to live
you asshole.
Is different than what the meanest. Yeah,
what Chuck needs barbecue man. Is different than what Jay needs.
Yeah.
Because Chuck likes his shit.
His shit.
I like my toys.
So
it totally gets away from merit based.
Right.
Which That's is what we need to get back to. Society as a whole, we need to get back to everything being merit-based, from education, admission to college, interviewing for positions.
Yep.
Everything, you need to be based on merit. Yeah. There is no level playing field.
I would couch that with the move from saying equal opportunity. It has now become equality of outcome. Right? So when you go from using the language minimum wage to, quote, livable wage, we're talking about moving from this direction to, so we want, everybody needs to have this standard of living. What we used to say is we're not going to allow anybody to fall under this standard of living. Now we're trying to say, well, everybody needs to be this median standard of living. It's so not, it's not attainable. How would that make
you feel? I mean, as if you're going to see a doctor and you had your choice of one doctor that was a 3.95 GPA. The next doctor was a 2.7. But they both get the same credit and the same credentials. How would you feel knowing that you went to see the one that had a 2.7? That's what the elimination of mediocrity or merit-based thought is.
I find my doctors on Yelp.
Good thing your customers don't find your restaurants on Yelp.
Oh, my customers love. So somebody just messaged me earlier in full disclosure, it was somebody from high school. And they're like, oh, we're coming back together. We're going to be in town. And we were looking for somewhere to eat. And we were looking through Google reviews.
And by the way, he was not smoking a cigarette in the building.
It's a closed cigarette.
Yeah.
We have specific air filtration systems.
Yeah. True.
Didn't you apply to be a rep for a weed company?
Which is funny considering... It's not my thing. No wonder I didn't get the job.
It should be your thing.
No. No, I do not appreciate cerebral palsy mode. So that is not my forte. No. Ain't doing it again. Ever.
No, you're doing it wrong.
No, no, no. You're doing it wrong. No, nope.
You're doing it wrong.
No.
Anyways, okay. So, anyways, so the wage law. So, yes, January 26th. I want to say yesterday because God knows when this will come out onto interwebs. But January 26th, the Court of Appeals ruled that. I got to back up. So, petition goes into the legislature. They adopt, they amend, they change it, they extend the deadline for these raises in the minimum wage.
Yep. Then the issue of constitutionality comes up.
And so they do this, and then the Attorney General's office comes in, and actually a couple of other people came in and are attempting to basically question the constitutionality of it. So our good pal, Judge Shapiro.
What a guy.
He issued a ruling over in the Court of Claims saying that the adopt amend procedure that the legislature used whenever in 2018 or 2019 or whatever year they were adopting amending was unconstitutional.
Where have we heard that name before?
Yeah, I wonder. T&V Associates.
Weird. So this is a guy that clearly is on one side of things.
Yes. And I didn't know enough about this before. When he made this ruling a month or two ago, he at least did the smart thing and issued a stay in the increase in minimum wage. Although we had one at the first year that was going into effect regardless of this. He issues this ruling saying that their procedure was unconstitutional. And on February 19, 2023, this minimum wage was going to take a huge bump.
Yep.
And more specifically, that tipped wage was going to go up 400% or whatever.
Yeah, just until this ruling, just a couple of weeks from now,
which
is going to kick in.
What ends up happening is it changes customer behavior into the tune of where they don't know how much that employee is being tipped or being paid. Therefore, what's going to happen is they're going to start tipping less.
Exactly.
That type of thing. And that's not me making that up there. That's been shown out in the evidence.
Well, and the other side of things is that now all of a sudden, if you go to McDonald's, you're going to pay $15 for Big Mac meal. Because labor costs have gone up so much.
Yeah.
The restaurant owners are going to have to change from their franchises to the independent business owner.
With minimum wage, I would say that the marketplace creates the wage. I mean, we're paying well over minimum wage anyways. So I don't need the state to tell me. But the unfortunate thing is that there are some people that will take advantage of people that don't know better. Unfortunately, well, it's always bad actors, right?
Yeah. If you have a restaurant that notoriously known as, and I can think of a couple in town that get their servers get huge tips. Then those,
yeah.
Go
ahead.
But you know, those restaurant owners don't have to pay as high of a minimum wage or as high of a wage hourly because they know the tips that these people are going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
So forcing them to increase what they're paying them is going to increase cost of your food.
There's a lot of, in my opinion, there is a move towards pulling these cash tips, from being reported on employees' income tax returns, which they're supposed to be doing.
Supposed to be, which we know doesn't happen.
It now moves that burden over to the employer to capture more of that income tax because the cash tips are virtually going to disappear.
I didn't think about that way. That's a nice play to get more and tax revenue.
Absolutely. So now what happens is the employer's tax burden becomes larger than it already is.
So now it's going to fall on you instead of the employee.
Right. So now I'm subsidizing what, again, that's my opinion. But when you use language like a livable wage and you talk about other words like we want to help workers, we want to help working families. Well, you're not.
Well,
by removing the tip credit, you're not. You're taking wages that are $30 to $45 an hour, and you're removing that expectation. Good job, bartending, yeah. Chuck. You sure earn that $15 an hour that I help petition
you
to get
Chuck again, you asshole.
Cut it.
Son of a bitch.
I'm making you a shirt, but that's besides the point.
Chuck.
I am Chuck. Don't fuck with Chuck.
Just put back my Dick One shirt.
So, so what... Shapiro issues this ruling. It's an unconstitutional move that the legislature did and adopt and amend. I didn't know a lot about it. I met one of the guys that worked on the adopt and amend when I was down in Lansing the other day, and I questioned him about it. And because I know this judge, and he says, yeah, well, you know, judge whatever his name. And I said, Shapiro.
Well, and you told me you got him looking at it from a different angle.
Yeah. And he said the reason why they were questioning the constitutionality is because the way that they adopted and amended had never been done before. But the language in the statute didn't say they couldn't do it. And what I learned was what they did that had never been done before, was what this senator told me, was that they adopted and amended in the same session.
Apparently
they adopt and they will amend between over sessions.
Well, you got to work those deals.
Right. So they did all this deal making at the adopting and amending all within the same session, which apparently had never been done before, but there is no specific language that says that they couldn't. So they did it. It was challenged in the claims. Shapiro said it's unconstitutional. COA, just three panel judge, unanimously 3-0.
Yep.
Kelly, Murray, and Riordan
said it was constitutional.
All are saying it is constitutional. But my original point when you said faith in government 20 minutes ago, the justices make a point to say in here that this is kind of it. They use the words defanged, right? Because they did it in one session. So there kind of wasn't that sort of check between two sessions, because there would be some
little pat on the back,
probably change, you know, whatever. So they actually, so I think Michael Kelly is who issued the concurring opinion, I believe. This is Judge Murray, sorry. No, maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, doesn't matter. What they say in here, by doing this maneuver, this adopt and amend in the same session, if the individuals responsible for this maneuver ever wonder why public opinion polls consistently cast politicians low when it comes to the virtue of trust, they need to look no further than what they did here. It is a direct result on one of the rights our founding fathers and the drafters of our state constitution held dear, the right of the citizens to petition their government.
Well put.
I agree with that.
Wholeheartedly, because they didn't, and at first I thought, way to give yourself a pat on the back, but they didn't stop to get influenced by other people.
Yeah, although this procedure is permissible under the language of our Constitution, this ploy, adopting an initiative into law so as to prevent it from going onto the ballot, and then promptly and substantially amending that law in a manner that has left it essentially defanged. So that's what they're talking about, is they took the petition.
The possibility of the backroom deals.
And garbled it up and put it into this thing, and it doesn't hardly resemble the coach bag that she bought. Instead, it's, you know, something from wish.com. In this instance, it happens to be a wage law that was passed back in 2018 and has now gone through so much junk.
By people, again, who are not in touch with the people.
Not at all. Not at all. And when you look who's behind these petition drives, it's the Fight for 15 people, really, because that's where this is going. And I'm on record saying it, and I'll say it again. I don't care about the minimum wage. I don't operate in the minimum wage world. There are certain protections for minors in here as well. I think that's important. The tip credit is a big deal for bars specifically that have only liquor and beer to serve. Their payrolls are very small. And sometimes employees actually have to pay into payroll because we cover the taxes that they claim on their tips.
Well, we've often talked about this.
Claim tips.
We're both.
Yeah, I do that every episode.
Literally.
Literally.
We'll do it. See, Chuck.
That's fair.
So we're both.
To be fair.
We've always both been in industries that our employees are paid exactly what they're worth.
Right.
Which you have to let that resonate and think about it. If you've ever been in the industry.
That's what America's founded
on. America. But you're paid exactly what you're worth.
Yeah.
And that bill would have taken that away.
Yeah, exactly. That's my number one complaint for a lot of reasons. But I mean, this affects my wife's income. You know, I mean, she works here in a restaurant, and if people are believing that she's getting a livable wage, they're probably not going to tip. And we've seen some outstanding tips since everything is opened back up because people are so happy to be out and about again. But when you introduce this confusion into the marketplace, they don't really know. So we're gonna
Oh,
start putting
again,
notices on menus and all this
I'm
stuff.
going back to livable wage. So, does your wife drive a Chevy Cobalt or a 1-ton diesel 4x4 with a 6-inch lift? Well, it's livable by one, not livable by another. So,
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to have to define what my livable
did you
means.
move into a single wide? Did you move that I'm not aware of, or
Just saying, like
livable for one?
I don't want to, yeah. The protection of a minimum wage is for the worker entering the marketplace. It's that simple. It's not the standards, not the median that people should be making. It's the minimum that people should be to get into the marketplace. That's it. And
And where you go from there is
I
based on your work
believe
ethic and your merit.
in my marketplace that I operate in, we're already paying above the minimum wage for entry level positions, right? That's the entire point.
Which is the market has made it to the you have to nowadays.
Yeah, I don't want the government to have to tell me what the marketplace is. The marketplace is already bearing it out.
You think the government doesn't know?
Just like the press. So imagine they want to protect pulled pork sandwiches and they say all pork sandwich. I can't, all pork lives matter. All pulled pork sandwiches matter.
Hey, wait.
And you have to charge a minimum of $9 per, like, the market is already dictating what I'm getting for
But I
that.
can speak to
Like,
this because
and I know it's
recently, hang
not the
on,
same comparison,
because
but
not all pulled pork sandwiches are the same.
well, of course not. That's why we exist.
My daughter insisted on going to another local downtown Gaylord restaurant that has pulled pork, and it was either Gordon Foods or Sysco shit can mashed out of a pan. It reminded me of the stuff that we had in high school.
Cafeteria.
It was just
Cafeteria food.
mush.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was the same damn price as your pulled pork, which is literally smoked and hand pulled. And
Oh, wait, so you're saying my pulled pork's underpriced now?
yeah.
Fair enough.
Good.
Sounds like the market dictates the price
That it
increase.
was so bad. Nobody at the table. It was myself, Lauren, and Kaylee. Nobody wanted to take it home as leftovers.
Well, there you go.
I did because dog needed to eat something.
Ah, well.
But again, merit. You charge the same price for every pork sandwich.
Yeah.
You get cafeteria food, or you get hand smoked, locally produced, assembled here, not out of a tin pan.
Yeah. And I just don't need the government telling me what I should be paying for something when the marketplace is paying already showing me that I can pay over that. But this is a
It's a
win.
win.
It's a win for everybody in the restaurant business. There are plenty of people that are advocating in the opposite direction. We understand that. But there are very few states that have eliminated the tip credit. California being one of them. I think the other one's out on the
Well,
West
that's a
Coast
big
somewhere as
shocker,
well.
California.
Yeah, I
Probably
mean,
Maine or
we're
Massachusetts.
California 2.0 is what's happening here. But what most likely will happen is, so this was a Court of Appeals
It's going to Supreme Court.
judgment. It will probably the real problem is on this thing is that there is real no remedy. They don't, there's no good outcome for the Supreme Court on this. They can take it and basically just affirm the lower court, but why, I mean, if they decide
That's one
to
of those,
not take it,
yeah.
this published opinion then basically says, so
It's one of those things nobody's going to win
what
in
they
the broad scope of things.
really, what we don't want, those of us that believe in separation of powers and understand how laws are made, what now has to happen is legislation needs to be introduced. If this is people are worried about this process being repeated, which right now the Dems probably should applaud this because now they can adopt and amend any petition within the same session. I mean, they've got, a blank check for them.
Well, especially now having the House and the Senate. I mean, they
So
write the checks.
Well, we'll see what happens, but there is a possibility it could go up to the Supreme. They could overturn, and then God knows what that means for restaurants and employees as well. But as of right now, the minimum wage is not going to go up so drastically as it was. And it keeps our system of merit in place, which everybody is used to. We're not Europe. We're not California.
We're not Canada.
We're not Canada. Our staff love the way the system is set up, and it encourages our employees to give better service.
Which, you know, and just to point out too, I mean, it's even though you do tip sharing here, all of your employees absolutely love it. So like you hear often in the news, these people that bitch and quit jobs over tip sharing.
Yeah.
It can work well when everybody does their job properly.
Right.
We've all had shitty service, and the tip reflected level of service.
What's always interesting to me is when they talked about this wage law and the removal of the tip credit, oh, then they should be making a livable wage, this, that, and the other. There's always this just sort of given that these people are forced to wait tables.
Yeah.
She's like forced to drive that beverage cart in the summertime, or that bag boy is forced. Yeah. Because it's not just bartenders. This is anybody, pizza drivers. These people, actually, that might not be a fair assessment to use, pizza drivers.
You know, say bev cart operators and bag drops.
But anybody that their merit tip-based system could be impacted by this. And I mean, I say that because I was a bagger. I mean, that was one of my first jobs that I had. And the quicker you got to somebody's bag and started cleaning them, the more money you're going to make. When your members come back around and you know that they want a round of rum and cokes and Fireball, it's good. Fireball wasn't really.
Well, and it's no surprise that anybody that grew up in our area that, you know, in the summertime, those are the two best jobs to have.
Right.
Egg drop and bev cart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going to make bank.
Yeah.
You're going to make way more than somebody possibly 15, 20 years older than you.
I didn't have the legs for bev cart, so I stuck to
that. Thank God.
but that's what we like about this system. And the idea that these people have nothing else to do and they take these jobs because they're low rung is total horseshit. There are servers out there that make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year and they're making bank. And this TEP credit removal threatens that. And it fundamentally changes the way an entire segment of our economy has to shift their business plan.
Well, and that's always been a thought process of mine. It's like, you know, if you're okay with $25,000, $30,000 a year, I don't mind. That's fine. But it doesn't mean you automatically are entitled to 40 or 50.
Right.
If you want it, go get it.
That's
the whole point. You and I think the same on this, that
yeah,
go get it. You can have anything you want. Just go
and
get
if
it.
If you're not making tips as a bag boy because you're too lazy or you have a bum ankle or whatever it is,
then you can't
run over to that car and get those ladies. I honestly, okay, I'm not going there. Honestly, that's the thing I like about it the most is it weeds out those that aren't as good at customer relations or commission-based things with sales and those types of things. Even though commission sales is not the same as the tip credit, but it is the idea of merit-based reward is there.
If you're shitty at what you do, you're not making the money.
And people want to complain, well, why are we subsidizing their wage? You're not. You're not forced to tip whatsoever.
Well, let me put this question up to those people. Those are the same people that can't get out of their car and get off their ass and go get their own groceries.
Yeah.
They would rather sit in their car and bitch because it took more than 5 minutes to get somebody to come out and bring the groceries out to them and load them in the car for them.
Well, everybody needs something to complain about.
Wow. You mean like barbecue?
It
happens.
People always need something to be upset about or complain about. And
what do we call
service, service industry people
gaslighting?
are very easy targets because we are perceived as the low end of the worker spectrum. And sometimes that's true. A lot of times it's not, but you know, my biggest issue is really when people want to make claims that they have no idea what they're talking about. I've been in this industry for 25 years, and I think that it's totally appropriate for to remove the tip credit, blah, blah, blah.
And see, with me,
well, maybe you weren't very good at your job, because
I was talking to somebody else in the car business the other day, and we're talking about the same thing on social media, where it's not uncommon to see a dealership share a car listed for sale. And you have these jackasses. That's way too much money. That's way overpriced. These are the guys that are driving around with 15-year-old, 300,000-mile pieces of shit that are telling somebody that does this 10 hours a day, 5-6 days a week, that they're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the same people that attack restaurants and attack your barbecue, even though they don't know how to barbecue or even eat barbecue more than once or twice a year, but they're going to tell you how to do it, that you're wrong.
I can't relate.
I mean, literally, it's literally the same situation where these people have to chime in and talk about how you don't know what you're doing. I don't know how to do what you're doing, but you don't know yourself.
Yeah. I've been I truck all over the United States, and I've had all kinds of barbecue, and this is the worst barbecue I've ever had.
Yeah, that's one of those.
Okay.
I'm down in Texas.
Okay.
Don't
come back. Okay.
Nobody made you come in.
Okay. But so, yeah, speaking of that, so a friend of mine's in town, hasn't been in town for a long time, and she's like, we were trying to figure out, came across Google, and we saw some of your review responses, and we're definitely coming in for something to eat. And a lot of people have said that, and that's just, where I'm at with
you, the hear it every day.
Thing, and I don't give a shit about it anymore. And anybody that really is that upset about how a free enterprise responds to nasty, snarky, shitty comments online is probably a fragile ego that we just really don't want in here anyway.
No, and it might be a good lesson to those people that, you know, you don't have to kiss everybody's ass, which is what businesses have been forced to believe.
This is why I couldn't be a politician. This is the other part about when I was down there, like, to bring it full circle. I just don't know that I would have to be so honest all the time that people, you know, people just don't like honest people much anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
What do they say? People love honest people until you're honest with them or something like that. I just fucked that up. But, you know, does that make sense?
And they like you to be honest as long as you agree with them.
Yeah, well, that's true too. I mean, social media just amplifies that fucking nonsense. But I don't, you know, I had recently asked if I would be interested in getting into politics. And even when this began, you know, it was just after election, and we were coming into election and even local elections here. And I'm like, listen, no, I represent me and myself. Right.
Yeah. You and I had the conversation. We were both talking about it. And it's like,
me representing them. Absolutely not. And I would have such a hard time having these ideas of how to be able to do certain things, and coming from private business, it's action oriented, right? It's all about get it done now.
Yeah.
These folks don't have much of a timeline.
No, they'll stew on issues.
I wouldn't say that they have unlimited money, but they have somebody else's money.
But
therefore,
the thing is,
it can be.
But the longer they hold out, the more money they have to gain.
There are so many games that go on. I just don't know. I mean, that's why I say, I mean, I think that's where idealism goes to die, because you have these ideas of how you can be effective and take care of people that you care about and issues that are important to you. And then you try and go and affect change, and it's just like a brick wall.
Well,
and that's why I give Michelle all the credit in the world. Being in the minority, she's got a new job in the other chamber now, going to the Senate side. She's now in the majority. You know, they don't have the staff that they had before. Fundraising is a little bit different. But does that make her constituents' issues any less important? No, but the effectiveness is certainly at play.
I would say she's definitely...
And that would be hard. That would be really hard to reconcile. You elected me to go and defend the Second Amendment.
But essentially, she's irrelevant.
Well, they don't have unfortunately, it seems to be the case. And yeah. I can see it, not just, I'm not speaking for her, but
But
by and
for
large,
anybody, if you're in the minority, you're irrelevant.
You could say, let me put it this way. When I saw people hit that present button and then immediately walk out at the State of the State the other night, that was a statement that they were making in, on several fronts. But as it relates to this, it's just like, yeah, okay, I'm here. Boom, and I'm out of here. And not,
sad.
Nothing.
These
nothing...
are people that we're paying that we elected and put our faith into.
Yes. Again, I struggle with being responsible for 24 people here and their livelihoods, right? That's what started this whole dumbass thing to begin with. If I had unlimited money, I probably would have just kept my door shut like everybody else did and took it in the behind.
And one of those sons of bitches can't even remember my name.
Chuck. So I just, it would be, it would probably be a soul crusher for me. Just thinking about the idea of,
I don't think I could look myself in
making
the mirror.
Making promises as politicians do.
Making promises,
then,
making money.
And then you turn around and you get results like this, where an actual petition was adopted and then it was drastically changed from the word hammer to screwdriver, and we're going to put it through. Now, again, this just happens to benefit me, but the underlying idea, I actually agree with these three justices that it doesn't seem right. And that's why there's this Venn diagram now of exactly what's going on with some of the things in the Supreme Court and us here in this wage law.
I would say it's not just legislative branch, but judicial. Because I think back now, as we're talking about this, like even some of the judges that have been involved with the Iron Pigs pursuit that have been paid great money by the taxpayers, continue to get a paycheck, but just said, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want
to. You have no idea. You have no idea.
But they're still getting paid.
You have some idea better than most of our listeners, but you have a better idea, but you have no idea actually how many judges wanted to come nowhere close to any of these things, because this is the way we put it. Nobody wanted to be known as the COVID judge, which is why Judge Kennedy stuck it out there and put it on the line. And actually defended us and said, okay, Department of Agriculture, how do they get their license? What's the path forward for the Iron Pig? He's in contempt of court. He's shut down as it is. How does Mr. Murphy get his food license?
That was the
back?
One judge that said, you guys go talk about it, figure out a solution.
He was the one that understood the slogan, risk it for the brisket guy. He understood.
Still waiting for a royalty check.
And he made the laughing comment about it that, yeah, I like that. That's it. You know, and he understood that we weren't poking fun at COVID or any of that stupid shit. He understood that we were fighting for our right to understand exactly what this health law is doing.
Yeah.
So he stuck it out there a little bit enough to put himself in the position to be the good guy, but not be the COVID judge either. So we get down the road and things started to come about that we didn't know way back when the whole thing started. And we got into recertified questions. And Judge Hunter, when he got our case, I believe, I have no evidence to support this, but I believe that he basically had his brief written, which is the case a lot of times, before oral argument. Way back in January 6th or 7th.
Well, because contrary to some other judges have been involved in your case, the judges actually get notes to read before the case.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, there's briefing processes and deadlines.
And like
you
that,
get to reply brief and all, brief and all.
Just had an assistant AG who said he had no knowledge of the Pigs case.
Oh, that was an administrative law judge.
Yeah.
Like, this is an appointed judge that can give me fines, can take my fucking license, could potentially
claim
put me
he knew
in
nothing
jail,
about the case.
But claim, yeah, it was Judge Avocado.
Yeah, that's it. They're all vegetables. I couldn't remember which one.
I forget. It was. He's probably a nice guy, but he kind of. Anyways, it doesn't matter. That's all I'm done with. I'm not trying to pick a fight with the Liquor Commission again. not until Supreme Court takes our thing and takes some power away from these people.
But you know, point being, I mean, were you going on Lansing watching the State of the State address? Further. Lead you down the path of not having faith or trust. And government or elected officials,
it doesn't,
because it's all a big smoke screen.
It's
a
really
game. It's a big ass game.
It's disheartening as shit, man, because These are the people. Actually, I read today that using the word the is now offensive in front of saying the people or the Indians or the...
You can't say Indians.
The Mexicans or the French people or the Austrians. You can't... No, what yeah.
We should put
the that. Before. I mean, that's where we are now. But what was
like
I
saying the men, the women?
Yeah, exactly.
Say men, women.
It doesn't even matter.
No.
What was I even talking about? The entire point. What I saw down there is the process of how these things go. And now I understand why these things don't have that much specific definition on them, is because they're so hard to get through to begin with. But the process is so just disjointed and crazy. And I don't pretend to have any of the ways to fix any of it. I think probably getting money out of, you know, corporate money out of campaign donations is probably a good start. I don't think you'll ever get rid of lobbyists, and they may have a very useful purpose. I don't know enough about it.
Well, you know, there's
I mean I'd take a lobbyist job. Are you kidding? I mean, these people, all they do is just, you know, try to make friends with people and entertain. I'm like, this is what I do for a living anyways. But wink wink, no, I'm just kidding. I like my job. But I will tell you that I do have a better appreciation for what happens when people do go to Lansing and get swallowed up by some of that. Again, I don't agree with it. I think people need to check themselves, but there are a lot of really good examples of people that stay connected with their voter base and the people that got elected. And I stopped this one rep the other night after I saw him three or four times, and he kind of just didn't even want to engage with me, which I mean, I wasn't necessarily surprised with, because, you know, I turned on him or something was what I heard. And it's just absurd. And this is the essential dynamic that I have a problem with, is that these folks go down to Lansing and then they kind of prop themselves up. And it's like, no, damn it. You work for me, man. And I actually had to stop this rep after I'd seen him for the fourth time, and there was virtually no way that he hadn't seen me. And I was the guest of his colleague. And in fact, his other colleagues from other districts who have been, you know, Neil Frisky came up and made a comment, and we stopped and had conversation. But, you know, I can't get my own representative to come and have a conversation with me, because in all honesty, I supported both of his challengers because he never even tried to do anything that he promised way back in January of 2021.
And as a matter of fact, when you tagged him, you got a generic, almost an automated response.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, here's what they forget. The next time they lose, they're not jack shit anymore. He's right back to here, right back to his opinion doesn't matter.
My point is that he didn't necessarily want to engage with me, but I wanted to make sure that he knew that he still represents me. Like, you can disengage with me, or you can not even engage with me at these events or something like that, but you still represent me. And ultimately that means that
Ian's voice matters.
It kind of does. I mean, if he had stuck with us through this entire fight, this fellow would his name, everybody would probably know this guy's name, because he stood on a stage with us and backed us way back in January, even before Michelle did, before Ryan Kelly did, before anybody. He was there and then just disappeared and got swallowed up.
After 54
and never had the fortitude, and it never even bothered to explain why he couldn't support us any longer, whether it was because we didn't donate to his campaign, which I understand. Fine. There are other people that donate to your campaign that you're going to give your time to. I understand that's how it works. I get it. But don't say one thing and then do completely, basically the opposite of that, and then wonder why I, quote, turn on him. And then by my right, I support his challengers. Now, again, he won. Good for him. But my point when stopping him, when he was about past me for the third time, was, hey, listen, congratulations. I know that we haven't always got seen eye to eye, but
you still represent me.
You still represent me. I know that I supported both of your challengers. You won. You're still my rep. If there's anything that I could do for you, please let me know. And of course, he said, you know, likewise, basically, and kind of went on our way and, you know, and said hi to Michelle. And but it just it sets such a ominous tone after seeing all this other stuff that here these people are in this bar. And here's a person that he made promise. We gave him 10, 15 minutes on a stage after he just won his election, his first go round in the House.
Well, not to mention the photo ops.
A Gaylord guy.
Yeah, the photo ops.
And I'm really not trying to jump on his ass about this, but this is important for other people to understand. When we talk about we the people, when we go back to the original language, we the people, we're here, dude. We're at the top of the pyramid.
And they forget that.
And they forget that. And I suppose that's what I wanted to remind Ken. Now, he may say it was inappropriate. Maybe he'll see this and maybe he'll say something. I don't give a shit either way. The point is that we pay these people. We elect these people. We ask these people to represent our interests.
This was a very important,
very important interest for me and a lot of his constituents as well. And unfortunately, he chose to support other people that didn't take the stance that we did. It's fine. I'm not upset about that whatsoever. What I'm upset about is when you won't engage, but the one time you will is because there's a meeting in my restaurant that other people invited you to, and we shake hands and we have a photo opportunity. And then I hear from your colleague that I turned on you like a crybaby, but won't even have any conversation about why I turned on him.
Well,
so now it's out there why I turned on him.
Nor did he share an opinion with the public on social media.
Well, and that's not how he chooses to communicate in 2022.
Everybody else had no problem doing it.
And I fundamentally have a disagreement with that, but apparently he doesn't need to because he got elected again. So fine. That's okay. He's still my representative and I'll still...
Another election coming up.
I'll still send him ideas on how to change these things.
I thought you were going
to
say gift cards.
There's plenty of things that we have shown the Supreme Court on how the legislature needs to start crafting their bills with more details in them, right? That was my main thing to everybody that I talked to the other day. I said, hey, for what it's worth, our Supreme Court petition basically is just reminding you guys, when you create a bill, it can't leave here without being complete. And the details are what need to be in there.
Yeah. Get away from the backroom negotiations.
Yeah. Just be specific. Make it go through its process until you have agreed specifics. Percentage of this, it's 75 miles an hour on the freeway. It's that simple. When you make laws, put the facts in them. That's all that
facts
they have to do.
Facts, instructions.
That's all they have to do.
It's all laid out.
Facts, so the executive branch.
Quit trying to reinterpret things. Yes,
exactly.
It's already filled out.
We'll see what happens with this wage law thing as it works its way through. But the good news is for now, it looks like we don't have to have the drastic increases. Tipping should stay as it should. Customer behavior won't change.
No, customer behavior is always changing.
The state of the state address was fun. It was kind of a cool opportunity to do. Yeah, I did definitely feel like I had to take a shower after that, but it was a cool, introduction to a lot of people I would have never had a chance to meet. Apparently a lot of people that, had heard of the Iron Pig, a lot of people that supported us, even so, I was grateful for the opportunity to go down there. And again, Michelle she represents what, 15 counties and could have taken so many other people that probably deserved to go more than I did, but her and I see a lot of things eye to eye, and I'm very appreciative to Michelle for the opportunity. And this was a unique thing after not having one for 3 years, and Michelle got to walk in a couple of the Supreme Court justices. She didn't find that out till I got into her office, and I said, Michelle, that's crazy. I said, your guest just petitioned the Supreme Court a week and a half ago, and you get to escort these, like, that's crazy ironic. And that's a cool honor to get to do that as well. And
I'm just getting more nauseous.
It truly, sitting there, just seeing the whole thing in play. It's one thing to see it on TV, like with the State of the Union, and then just the, you know, the partisanship is so ridiculous. But to be there in person and to see it live is a whole other experience. But unique as it was, entertaining as it was, I had some things to say about a few of the things that she said, but that's my personal opinions. But it was fun. I was grateful for the opportunity, and probably would do it, you know, again if I had it, the opportunity. So we'll see what happens. Nothing new cooking with our Supreme Court stuff right now. Hopefully we'll get some amicus curiae going on with that, some other parties chiming in. Mackinac Center has it now. Judge Hunter actually now has a copy of it. I'm sure Catherine Henry has a copy of it because she was actually on the list to get a copy. So we'll see what happens with all that. And we'll just kind of keep doing what we're doing.
Every day in, day out.
Anything else, Professor?
Nope.
That'll do.
Inside joke.
All right. On behalf of Chuck, a.k.a. my buddy Chris. I'm Ian. Thanks for joining us on Murphy's Law. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. Follow us. We're on Rumble. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Listen to us on Spotify, all that stuff. Catch all of our previous episodes and a bunch of other stuff. Murphy's Law, DeCast.com. Thanks, guys.